Father in heaven, thank you for the word you've already spoken to us about your faithfulness to us, Lord. May that just not be something that we hear in our heads, but know in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that your will is to touch us, Lord. And I just pray that each of us would have a deeper appreciation of your love for us today, and that that love would flow from us into all our relationships. We pray this in the name of love, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So marriage counselor named Gary Oliver and married or ministered many couples. And he said, talking to them, he's come up with a functional definition of love, or at least for many of the couples. He said their functional definition of love is a feeling that you feel when you feel that you aren't going to feel a feeling that you've never felt before. Simply, is love a feeling? Love can manifest itself in feelings, but love is so much more than a feeling. I've seen this, you know, my over 40 years of ministry. Somebody gets, I call them the warm fuzzies. And they get married, and they think the warm fuzzies is what it's all about. But then I think Gary Chapman says after 18 months or something, the tinglies is what he calls it, kinds of goes away. And then what I've seen happen, sadly, is that somebody doesn't feel the warm fuzzies anymore, so they assume they no longer love this person. And then they meet somebody else and they feel these warm and fuzzies towards this other person. So they assume that they no longer love this person and now they love this other person because they're just seeing love as a feeling. And that's basically what a lot of the songs, right, the romantic songs in the culture say, the love is simply a feeling. And then they divorce their spouse and they get married, but then what happens? The pattern happens again. Believe me, I've seen this, so it's sad. And when you promise, if those of us that were married, did you promise to feel anything? I think any of us that had any of the traditional vows, you don't promise to feel anything, do you? It's really about attitudes and actions. And so, what's the best place to find out what real love is? Obviously, the Word of God. And Jesus said there are two great commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do those come from the New Testament or the Old Testament? They're both in the Old Testament. Jesus put them together in a nice package, but they're both from the Old Testament. The first, the love your neighbor as yourself, is from Deuteronomy. And I'll find my clicker here. So Ron did a great job reading this passage. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. This is basically saying, showing us practically how to love our neighbor as ourselves, how to put others before yourself. You should not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them. For why? The poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So he's saying, you know, this is from God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely. And so profane the name of God. I think we have to be careful. Sometimes I hear people say, oh my God. And I wonder if they're really thinking about God. But do not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night. Until the morning, shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You think God cares how we treat people with disabilities? You know, I had to correct my kids when they were in high school. They used to call people retards. And they didn't understand. You know, God cares about how we treat other people, especially people that have limitations. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Just to see the hatred on the college campuses, so sad. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see where it comes from? This passage in Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And now today's the gospel lesson, and it begins with this verse. And I have to confess to you, I never really received from this the way I should have received from this. I mean, think about it. As the Father has loved me, how has the Father loved the Son? I mean, you're talking about the Trinity. You're talking about the Trinity. It's high and holy. What kind of love does the Father show the Son? Can you just receive from that a moment? What kind of love does the Father show the Son? How deep, how wide, how great, how perfect is that love? And so, as the Father has loved me, we have to receive that. So I have loved you. So as the Father has loved Jesus, so he loves us. Well, I was trying to think, okay, what's a way for us to appreciate the greatness of God's love? God's love in the Trinity, the Father's love for the Son. And the only thing I could think of, and the Bible was ahead of me, was the Bible says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. How far are the heavens above the earth? I wanted to travel to the nearest galaxy, traveling at the speed of light. So I souped up my minivan. It goes 186,000 miles per second. It's not even electric. And we would arrive there in 1.5, what's it say? Ruth is 105, but I don't think she's going to make it to 1.5 million years. That's a long time. Remember that it's to arrive at the closest galaxy, the closest one. It's estimated there are between 20 billion and 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. How high are the heavens above the earth? How great is God's love? Let's receive that. How great is God's love? You know, we go out and look at the stars at night, and my dad used to own a moving company, and the trucks with my name on it. I said, "Oh, there's one of my dad's trucks," and to make me feel good. But what we can look at the stars at night, and what can we say? The heavens declare the glory of God. They're declaring the glory of our Father in heaven. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So 200 to 2 trillion galaxies. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Isn't it hard to get your mind around how big the universe is? So that's the same problem we're having. You know, I know other parents have done this. When my kids were little, I used to play this game. I love you this much. And then, I love you this much. Or I love you from the floor to the ceiling. And I love you from the top of the house from the bottom of the house to the top of the house. Then you keep going. But where do you end up? As high as the heavens, God likes to play this game too. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my love for you. True story, there are two twins, very close. Obviously this happened years ago when a dollar actually had some value. And so one day, the two twins were very close. They took over their dad's business, running their business. One of the twins left a dollar on top of the cash register. When he came back, it was gone. No reasonable explanation except that his brother took it. So he said, what'd you do with the dollar? I didn't do anything with it. Yes, you did. You disappeared. And that dollar began to cause a division until they actually had to divide the business, their dad's business, into two, that $1. And years later, a man came up and said, I have to confess to you, hadn't eaten in a few days. I came by and I saw a dollar on your cash register. I came and I took that dollar. And the one brother told the other brother, and they started to weep together. Weep. When God loves us so much, brothers and sisters, how can we let politics divide us? Things like masks and how can we let anything little divide us? Is that, you hear what I'm saying? Terry and I were talking this morning, and you know, Terry used to be on a submarine, and he said on his submarine there were five believers. He said the five believers would get together and they would begin to debate about predestination, postdestination, this denomination, that denomination. And then he said it took a while, but they finally decided what they needed to do was to love one another. How can we let little things divide us? Little things. When the love is so great, is this coming across? When God's love is so great, as high as the heavens above the earth, how can we let little things divide us? And then the next, what's it say? As the Father's loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. How do you abide in this love? Well, this is John 15, so he's already talked about the vine and the branches, and the vine is the source of all nutrition and life, so we have to stay connected with the vine. But then he goes on and gives us another way to abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, we abide in God's love every day we get up, and we take a breath, and our heart's still beating. Every day, God provides life for us. So we're really abiding, but we can take that for granted very easily. But what does it mean to abide in God's love and by obeying his commandments? Is this saying that God's love is conditional, that you have to obey the commandments for God's love to be there for you? Well, that would contradict the greatness of God's love. A lot of other passages, I will never leave you or forsake you. But here's what I believe that it means, is that if God tells us to do something, if God says, forgive, you've got to forgive the way I've forgiven you, and you don't obey that command, you will not experience the fullness of his love for you. God commands us to worship, and we don't worship, then we're not going to experience the fullness of God's love for us. So when we disobey, then we're not going to experience the fullness of God's love for us. Every parent has a little talk with their kids, and we tell them, don't cross the street. Look both ways. Don't cross the street until you see everything that's clear. Don't cross the street. Three things are needed for that to work: knowledge, trust, and obedience. You need to know what to do. They need to trust what they're being told to do is the right thing to do. But they're not safe, they're not going to be protected if they just have the knowledge and they just have the trust. What? Unless they have the obedience. That's what I think God is saying to us. It's in obeying God that we are going to have a deeper relationship where we experience the fullness of his love for us. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If we choose not to trust God, then we are going to experience, we're not going to experience the fullness of his love for us. So does obedience earn us love? It's already there. Obedience is the fruit of love. If I say, oh, do you love God? And you say yes right away, and they said, are you obeying God? And you hesitate, Aren't they kind of the same question according to this passage? If you love God, you obey him. Because if you love him, that's the, love equals trust equals obedience. Now that applies not to all relationships, but certainly to our relationship with God. So obedience releases a deeper relationship with him. Obedience is the fruit of love. And what's important is we have spiritual disciplines. We pray, we read the word, but our spiritual discipline should deepen our love for God. Not just going through religious things, it should deepen our love for God. Do you love God more this year than you did last year? How do you do that? How do you deepen your love for God? Because, see, the more we love him, the more we know we can trust him, the more we're going to obey him, and it's kind of a wonderful cycle. So just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love, how far did Jesus go to obey the Father's commandments? He's in the garden here, right? Pastor Jim had a wonderful teaching about this in Lent. He's in the garden. What if he decided by, if he, love was a feeling, what would he have decided in the garden? No way, I'm not going through with this. But he loved the Father, he trusted the Father, and he obeyed the Father. So, abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments. And that meant for him, we're going to celebrate that in a few minutes. That meant that he gave his life. He died on the cross. He stretched out his arms upon the cross. And so he gave his love. He laid down his life. What greater love than this than a person laid down their life for his friends? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So why does God give us commandments? So we can experience joy, that we can experience his relationship, and that's where joy comes from. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, if somebody is spirit-filled, what should we see in their life?
Fruit.
Love, trust, obedience, right? Somebody's spirit-filled and you don't sense any love for them, there's got to be a question mark there. So, just some practical things. Ask the Holy Spirit. Who pours out the love of God in our hearts? The Holy Spirit. So ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to pour out the love of God in your heart. And then receive from his word. You can read his word but not receive anything. I read that word about his love, you know, that as the Father loves the Son, and I never received from that the way I should have. To think about, okay, as high as the heavens are above the earth, God's love is so great, so amazing. Just to take a moment and receive from that. Receive. Meditate on the cross. Powerful place where you experience the love of God. So you look at the cross and you remember the resurrection. And then when you worship, and worship in a way that you're expressing your love for God and you're experiencing God's love for you. So those are some very practical ways. And you know, I'm all for not just talking about things, but putting them into practice as much as we can. So if you know anything about John, who wrote the book of John and also the letters of John, they say at the end of his life that they would cart him in on a stretcher, and he would say, "Love one another as Christ has loved you." That's it. That was the end of his teaching. He'd just get up and say that. We have kind of a John guy in our church, don't we? Mm-hmm. Our deacon. And so I've asked him to come up, Tom. I've asked him to come on up, and he's going to read this passage from 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to receive from it. You hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Tom has a way about reading passages about love that's, I think, very unique. But I want you to receive. Don't just listen. Receive. Receive God's love. You know, the greatest thing in the world is God's love. I remember I was in Kenya with John Kamaru, went to a orphanage that was connected with his dad. And I knew the kids had heard the gospel. I preached the gospel. But then these kids, I thought, well, how do I pray for these kids in this orphanage where they'll probably never see anything 30 miles away from this orphanage? And I just sensed the Lord said, pray for them to experience the love of God. So I just began to lay hands on these kids and pray for the love of God. You know, tears started to stream down their eyes. It was so powerful. And I thought, you know, Bill Gates has had a lot of experiences, but these kids in that orphanage experienced the love of God. And that's the greatest thing that you can experience in this world. Amen? So experience the love of God. Walk in the love of God. Abide in the love of God. And let it overflow into all your relationships. Amen? Amen. Well, let's receive as our wonderful deacon reads the word of God to us. Well, let me just, I'll just click.
Can you hear this?
Yes.
I'll just put it up too.
Do what you want. Oh, close your eyes, bow your head, and clear your minds. Willingly open the door of your heart and hear clearly what this apostle advises in the Word of God. It is so, so true. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Contemplate it. Let the love of God massage your heart and your life. And go do it. God bless. Amen.